Well, good evening and welcome to Theater in the Woods. We are going to celebrate 50 years of being in Oshkosh, 50 consecutive fly-ins here at Whitman Regional Airport. And thank you for joining us. Let's see, how many of you are from out of town? Three, four? Good, good, good. How many of you have wet shoes yet? Good, we're dried out. That's a very good thing. How many have, is this your first time at Oshkosh? A couple of first-timers. Let's give them a warm Oshkosh welcome. Well, tonight we are going to reminisce about the move to Oshkosh all the way through the 2010s and share some stories with some EIA members that you may know or may have heard of, and we're going to enjoy their stories. But first, we cannot start this evening without hearing from our founder, Paul Poberesny.
Within 300 miles of Milwaukee for airports and all that, then nothing east because of the lake. What we needed is a large enough airport for
stage monitors,
growth, a community that could supply the materials, housing, mechanical help that you could hire in the future, which building trades and things of that nature. And logistics is like building a community for you. Then I got in a tanker. KC-97, I flew up here and one afternoon late.
There we go.
And I circled the airport and I circled the whole area and the tower. I remember asked, what's going on? And I said, oh, I'm just looking. And that's all I told them. Then I told our directors what we planned to do and they agreed. And I said, we're not going to have a fly-in this year. Let's let all our members know. Unless we meet the standards that we set forth for our organization. You tell about people came out, Steve Whitman, Dorothy, my wife, Ray, volunteers. We graded the land. We never seen so many stones, like potatoes out there, and rented some land for auto parking, seeded it. We had our first fly-in.
If you look back to the beginning, since day one, the annual EA convention, Milwaukee, Rockford, Oshkosh has always been administered and operated by volunteers as it is today. Today, an army of 5,000 people supplemented by staff operate Oshkosh, the world's greatest aviation event. And when you think of the logistics to park thousands of airplanes, to get the cars parked, a campsite that requires care 24 hours a day, scheduling hundreds of workshops and forums, the list goes on and on. It's a logistical nightmare, but it's also a logistical miracle. And it's done by volunteers who are passionate and believe in what they're doing, with their only pay being the success of the event and the recognition, the good feeling of a job well done, and they've made a contribution to something they believe in, and that's aviation.
Well, moving up here from, you know, the Milwaukee area was kind of a shock to me, but I liked it right away. I enjoyed being here, and they were all so supportive and all greeted us with open arms. So there was nothing left for us to do but be friendly right back. And we were. And they opened up their homes to us. They'd look forward to the people coming back year after year. And the university gave us the rooms to, they rented rooms out. They were a big help. Big thank you for coming, and I hope they enjoyed as much as we all did, because it was a very happy, joyful thing, even for us who had to work so hard. But we always came back and worked harder every year. And the people are so nice. I think they're special.
And a very special way to open this evening with words from Paul, from Tom, and from Audrey. The Poberesny family obviously is so influential and integral in the success of this organization. But there are many other people who helped bring Oshkosh to life, as it were. Joining me on the stage is Judy Miller. Wow, cool. I didn't know you had your own musical introduction.
I didn't either.
It's sort of like a football game, you know, or a baseball game where you got walk-on music. Anyway, Judy was in charge of Theater in the Woods for many years, and you may recognize the name Scholler. Her mom and dad, Ray and Bernice Scholler, were longtime volunteers. Ray was at every one of the fly-ins except 1953, up until his passing.
He was there?
All right.
So was I.
Yes. Up until his passing a few years ago. Jerry Burke, who, if you are from the Oshkosh, Fox Valley area, you recognize from WBAY Channel 2. Jerry has the distinction of having either covered this as a news event or volunteered for all 50 of our fly-in conventions here at Oshkosh. And Jim Gorman, who was a board member and involved in the initial move from Rockford to Oshkosh. And Jim, we'll start with you. Tell us a little bit about what precipitated having to move from Rockford and some of the trials and tribulations that you went through to finally decide to move here.
Keep it clean. Well,
I'll try to. I think basically the problem was that Rockford didn't want us. And they kind of suggested that we move somewhere else. And we canvassed all over the United States, really, asking people if they were interested. And of course, there was one person who was more interested than anybody else, and his name has something to do with the name of this airport. Actually, we started, and I was surprised. We actually bought ground at
Burlington.
Huh?
Burlington.
Yeah. And actually, I have a set of plans that Kelly Veets made for us for the museum at Burlington. Well, the more we thought about it, you know, 3,100 foot runway at Burlington really doesn't quite fit into what we have here. And so we started thinking about other places, and there was a division between the board of directors on where we should go. The people from the Chicago or Cleveland or Cincinnati, Chicago area said, well, there's no sense in having a museum up here at Oxford. It's too darn far away. No one will come here. And some of us thought, well, you know, we're going to have an air show and maybe 50 or 60,000 people might come to the museum. Well, that's been a little bit on the small side. So anyway, we had a vote. Steve Whitman and I were sitting down at the end of the table, and when it got down to us, it was a pretty darn close vote. And to be honest with you, I think Paul kind of favored going down towards Chicago. Well, anyway, by the time Speed spoke, and Steve was a very good person to convince you that we should come to Oshkosh. Well, of course, he punched me in the side and said, I know how you're going to feel. And I did, and we decided it once and for all that we were coming to Oshkosh. And that's the story.
Very good.
And it's the truth.
And it's the truth.
It is.
Jim, it was a very short time period between that vote and actually opening day, which is August 1st, 1970. So there was a lot of work, of course, with Wisconsin, the weather's unpredictable in the spring, but there was a lot of work that had to be done. And how did Paul manage to get an army of volunteers in a community that he didn't have any ties to?
Well, you know, every EAA member is a volunteer. I remember Paul saying on the speaker, for goodness sakes, as you walk around, pick up the rocks and put them in one of these containers over here. So it was just typical EAA work.
And the original camping areas, there was no Camp Scholler at that time. There was basically sort of on the north end of where the airport is. It was the auto parking and auto camping.
Oh,
and if you wanted to camp with a tent, in those days people didn't really have motorhomes. You just pitched a tent next to your car or next to your airplane, and that's how things were that first year, and probably sleeping on a lot of rocks.
Well, a lot of them were out on the flight line, too.
Yeah. Jerry, you were actually working in radio at the time.
Yep.
And what was your impression and the community's impression of this EIA group invading the city?
I got a phone call from this guy named Steve Whitman. And he said, Jerry, you might be interested in coming out and covering this thing, the EIA. And I went, what's that? I had no clue. And he started to explain it to me. I said, oh, you mean model airplanes? And so he said, no, it's a little bigger than that. That's all he said. But he says, I think you really will like it. So I came out here. He told me where to go, right below the tower, the old tower. And I met this guy named Paul Poberesny. And Paul says, well, tell me about you. And I told him about me and I ex-Air Force. I told him about my uncle, whom I'm named after, who was shot down in the Second World War in a B-24. Paul became my instant friend. He just was so genuine. And then I met Audrey. And then I met Carl Unger, the Breezy pilot. And my initial reaction was, what a cool bunch of people. I didn't count how many planes were here that year. I think, if I had to guess, less than 500. I don't really, were you here that year, Jim?
Oh yeah, I was here the first
year. Is 500 a pretty good guess?
Yeah, I'll tell you the truth, I hate to guess. I think there were even more than that.
Okay. 4,000. So I don't know how exactly, but it was very small. And you're right, Steve. The camping was very small.
Yeah.
We didn't get. I think it was 73 or 74. We had our first ultralights. They were right behind the tower, and it was a very probably from here. If you go from our stage out to the fence line, that was as big as the landing area was for the ultralights, and very few had wheels. Most of them were you were running along with this lawnmower behind you, and you try to take off. And we had multiple incidents that year where they didn't get up over the trees. But that's kind of where it got going from there, Steve.